But Lord, that we would come to you for our soul's deepest needs and desires. Thank you that we have this body of Christ where we can bring before you our requests. And Lord, I just want to intercede on behalf of those who are going through difficult trials right now. Maybe it's a health trial. Maybe it's one of a relationship. They're in a marriage that's just, Lord, it is not how you designed. And there's sadness, deep sadness, and just not knowing what to do. And maybe there's bitterness and there's resentment. Maybe it's a son or a daughter who's feeling estranged from their father or their mother, and there's a hurt there. There's a wound, open wound. Lord, I don't know what the challenges are that are here, but I know these just represent just the tip of the iceberg of what's happening in our hearts. And so, Lord, meet us where we are here today. That, Lord, we'd be able to take our eyes off of our problems here today, our challenges, our hurts, our wounds. And Lord, fix our eyes on you, fix our attention on you and your word here this morning, and speak to us because you know what we need. As we just sang, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I pulled an audible here this morning. We are not going to be in Nehemiah. We are going to be instead in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, and really this message, I prepared a whole message. In fact, I even have a slideshow back there. I said, Tom, you won't need any of the slides. But the good news is, in 2 weeks from now, after Mother's Day, I'll have a message that's already done, and so that's good. But, last night I was just tossing and turning and just sensed the Lord just saying, no, this is not where I want you to go. It's just, from time to time, I just sensed the Lord just kind of just smacking me in the face and saying, I want you to share something. And really, this is a message I think is for me this morning, and you just happen to be listening in. But we're going to be in Isaiah 55. Let me ask you a question, because this is what I've been kind of walking through in my own mind and my heart. Does your heart ever grow cold and quickly cold toward the things of the Lord? You ever just get kind of caught up in the things of this life, the shiny things, the exciting things, the things that bring comfort or what you think will be satisfaction? You sort of take your gaze off of Christ and you put them on yourself or on your stuff. Has that ever happened to you? I hope so, because otherwise, man, it's just going to be me up here. My guess is you have. I was thinking about this week. Draft was this weekend. Eagles picked up star quarterback Carson Wentz. Guys, excited? We all excited about this? Some of us? Oh, man, that was not very energetic. Well, apparently you don't represent a lot of Philadelphia because people are going crazy over this on blogs and all kinds of different places. Some people are like, man, this is our hope. This is our future, championship. And people are getting really excited and they're looking at all his stats and all the intangibles. That I haven't heard the word intangibles more in this past 24 hours than I have in the last several years. This guy has intangibles. He has grit, right? He has that Philly quality that we love, and so many people are putting their hope in him and getting excited. And I'm kind of toned down a bit. And the reason I am is because I lived in D.C. area for the last 10 years. And I've seen them rattle off quarterback after quarterback who was supposed to be the hope of the franchise. And I remember not that long ago, a certain someone by the name of Robert Griffin III, RG3. And the situation is very similar here. And everyone was so excited about him. He's the hope of this town. People were calling him R. Jesus because he was the great hope of D.C., he's not even on the roster anymore. He's getting maybe a redemptive story, a chance now. But I remember going through that, and it just kind of made me think about this in this message this morning of, man, how quickly we get excited and fixed on something and put a hope into it and dreams and satisfaction in it. And often it doesn't turn out like we had hoped. And we do this spiritually quite a bit. We get fixed on things in this world. We fix our gaze on them. We hope that things like relationships or a career or a status or a promotion or a new car or whatever it might be might give us what we're looking for. And then it ceases to satisfy our deepest needs. And that is exactly the spiritual situation that Israel finds themselves when the book of Isaiah is written. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to a group of people who knew God and yet were chasing after idols. We might think of idols as things made of wood and clay and stone. But really the idols are these are just the physical manifestations, but really they're issues of the heart, things that we long for and desire other than God. And that is the problem with these wayward people, these prodigals, a nation of prodigals in Isaiah. And Isaiah, the prophet, says on behalf of God, he says this, verse 1. Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not bread? Why do you labor on what does not satisfy? He says, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. In just these three verses, we want to answer three questions that are in this text. The first one is, who are invited? Who are invited? The second question is, what is offered? And the third is, how do we get it? Who's invited? What is offered? How do we get it? Simple outline of where we're going to go here this morning. First of all, who is invited? Well, the answer is really two kinds of people here in the text. Look at verse 1. It describes the first kind of person. It says this, come all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have what? No money, come buy and eat. That's interesting. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. And so the first group of people that he's inviting to him are those who are thirsty and broke. They've got nothing. They are empty. And let me just say a word to those of you who are in this category here this morning spiritually. You've come here this morning and maybe you have a thirst in your heart. You're broken. You're at the bottom of your rope. You're at the bottom of the pit right now. You kind of reminds me of, you know, in the heat of August. You ever, you know, you look out your flower bed in the heat of August and it's been a drought and your flowers aren't looking so good. And then you go on vacation, you're like, oh man, forgot to ask somebody to water my flower bed. And so you're just, man, you're just kind of hoping that some of the rain will come, and you get back and there's been no rain and those flowers have just been zapped of anything that they had in them. And so they're all withered and they're cracked and the leaves are all falling off. And they just look like, man, just anything, just one drop of water would help right now. Maybe that's how you feel spiritually. You just dried up in the heat of August. All your old hopes have dried up. Dreams that you've waited for have died. Maybe you feel like a country song, right? That your dog died and your spouse ran out on you and your car broke down. But seriously, you're in a dead end. You're feeling empty and unfulfilled, dissatisfied. Relationships that you've longed for have been broken and they look like they are beyond repair. Looks hopeless. Maybe your health has not turned out like you thought it would be in this stage of your life. And you're like grasping for something and it's just not there. You are thirsty and you are broke spiritually. Some of you have been here in this pit. Some of you are here now. and the Lord says to you, if this is you, you are just the candidate that I'm after. You're just the one I'm calling out to come, anyone who thirsts. You got no money, you got no resources, you got no bargaining position, you got no leverage. He says, come to me. God is inviting you this morning to a soul-satisfying feast, a banquet table, spiritually. That's the first person that he's inviting. The second kind of person that he's inviting, and I'm glad this one's here because I think it speaks to many of us here in this room. If we're honest with ourselves, you'll fit in this category. It's verse 2. It says, why spend money on what is not bread, and why your labor on what does not satisfy? See, in verse 1, he says, anyone who's broke and doesn't have anything, come to me. But you who have money and you're spending it, you who are laboring and toiling and striving but aren't satisfied, you are the ones I'm calling. And that's many of us here. It's those of us here that are chasing and striving with all vigor after things in this world, whether it's a new job or it's a new city or it's a new marriage or it's a new house or just a different one. Maybe it's things like a new book or a new grill or a new bike or something, a new sport, something that will satisfy the longings in your heart, and you're striving and grasping. But there's no pot at the end of the rainbow. No fountain of youth. It fades. You know, maybe you get that promotion and you're so excited and it lasts for a couple of days and then you get it and you're like, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be. This isn't bringing me the satisfaction. All this time I was striving after that corner office and I have it. It hasn't given me what I thought it would. Oh man, I've been striving after that championship and finally we got it. We got the championship and it lasted for a day or two. But man, I'm not satisfied. I need something else. Maybe that's you here today. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you think about that a little bit, you realize that there is this canyon of need, there's this hole in your life. If you're chasing after those things, you know that they're insufficient to give you what you're looking for. And God knows this. God knows this better than you could ever know it about yourself, which is why he makes that offer to you. Come. The labor for your dream, of going after your dreams, is not satisfying. And friends, this isn't just a Christian versus non-Christian thing. For us who are Christ followers, you know, I struggle with this. I think this is why the Lord put this on my heart, is I love the things of this world. I'm going to confess, I love the things of this world all too often, too much. I love, you know, good food, a great steak. I love, dare I say, a really good glass of wine. Did I just get fired? Okay. Going out of my notes here. That's not good. I love comforts. Love to be entertained. I love a good vacation. And you know, instead, you know, there's good things are nice. Every good gift comes from above. But when I look to those things, and instead of seeing them as a shadow, as a mere foretaste, as a mere appetizer to the greatest banquet with Jesus Christ and eternity, instead of looking to those, the blessing, and thanking the blesser, I look at the blessing and I love the blessing. And I want more of the blessing, and I forget the one who it comes from. I forget the one that the blessing points to, that the steak actually points to a far greater steak, far greater satisfaction. And I forget it. And I long for these things. And I chase after them. And when I do and I forget the blesser and I'm chasing after these things, it actually steals my joy. It's like this big, you know, I don't know what you call it, like a trade-off. It's you think you're going after something and it doesn't satisfy. And you're left without joy in your life. I've been there. And when we do this, we make idols out of these blessings, right? And we chase after them, they become like functional saviors, like day-to-day saviors. Sure, you might say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus has already paid it all for me. I have an eternal address in heaven. But man, day-to-day, you wouldn't really know that. Because I'm not looking to him for my satisfaction each day, my daily bread, my milk and my bread and my water and my wine, but rather I'm chasing after these other things day to day to give me that satisfaction in my heart that never is fulfilled. Kind of like a husband and wife, a couple getting married, and at their wedding ceremony, they're looking in each other's eyes, and a husband looking right into the eyes of the wife, and he's saying these vows, these touching vows, right? Covenant to love you. Some of us write our own. You are, you know, my inspiration. You're stealing words from, you know, other artists and poets. And some of us are using the classical vows, right? For better or worse, sickness and in health, in poverty and riches, till death do us part. And it's beautiful, right? And they get in this wedding they get into this marriage for a little while, and then pretty soon, you know, the husband, maybe in this situation, in this analogy, husband might go off and tends to be spending a little bit more time at happy hours. Maybe he's in his garage tinkering all day, and maybe he's out on the weekends or whatever, and trying to find something that he's chasing outside of his home. And you just kind of want to shake that husband and say to him, hey man, like, do you remember your vows? You're acting like you're still single. Why are you still living like you're still a single person? You're married now. Everything you're looking for, God has given you in that blessing in a relationship. Why are you chasing for it and grasping it out there, right? In a similar way, spiritually, what God is saying to the people here of Israel is, listen, we have a marriage covenant. And everything that you're looking for is here in this marriage covenant. Why are you off chasing these idols that are never going to bring satisfaction? Why are you still acting like you're spiritually single and on the market? You're not. How often do we do that, though? We bring in these functional saviors in our lives. That might be you, whether you're a Christian or you're not, chasing after these things. So these two kinds of people that God is talking about here, people who are invited by the Lord, the thirsty, the broke, the people who are the bottom of the pit. They don't have anything. They don't have any leverage. And the other group of people, which might be the majority of us out there, who the temptation is to, with the stuff that we have, the leverage that we have, the abilities, the skills, go out and try to find satisfaction in this world, lasting and true satisfaction. And he's saying to you all, both groups, find from me. Find from me what I offer. And that's the second point we're going to look at. What is the offer? And the offer here, as you look through the text, you see it's an offer of true water that satisfies. It's an offer of delight in good food and in good drink. What's he talking about? Is he talking about actual water, food, milk, wine? No. He's talking about, in verse 3, living, everlasting, ever-satisfying covenant love. See that? In verse 3, it says, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. The very covenant love I'm promising you. And the offer of this promise that truly satisfied our deepest longings in our hearts is that unconditional love. I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that at what all of us are after in some form or another? Unconditional love and acceptance. God is saying, don't look for it in those things. You'll find it in me and me alone. Some of us are trying to find that in human relationships right now. And as the old song goes, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Actually, don't even know who sings that song. I just know the phrase. But we're looking for it, and God's saying, no, 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 it's here, it's with me. Some of you have been to that banquet of that brought death, looking for that in a relationship, and you are on the other side of that, looking back and saying, man, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and not make that my idol. Not make that relationship, that marriage, that those kids or that job my idol, because you know where it's led in your life. Those things cannot satisfy. They were never designed to. You might say, but Nate, what do I do with all these longings in my heart? I mean, I have all these longings, whether it's to be married or to have this job or this career. What do I do with those longings? Are you saying they're bad? No, I'm not saying that they're bad. Listen, Psalm 37:4, one of my favorite verses says this: delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I used to love this verse. I used to particularly like the second part of this verse. He will give me the desires of my heart. Say, Lord, I'm claiming that promise. I need a date. That's what my heart wants. Hook me up. Or I need a job. That's what my heart desires. Hook me up. I need some acceptance. I need some fill in the blank, whatever that your heart craves. Hook me up, God. And we look at God as like this genie in a bottle, and we just kind of rub that, and out, poof, he grants us our every longing of our heart. And is that what this verse says? No, of course not. What's the first part of it? Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh. What happens? Well, when we look to him and we find him at the center of our life, on the throne of our life, he is our greatest joy. He is our greatest treasure. We're chasing after him and his word to encounter him and come to know him and consider him more beautiful each day. When we're finding our delight in him, what happens? He begins to take those longings in our heart, those desires in our heart, and he changes them. He molds them to be in accord and aligned with his desires. So the things that are in our heart that we desire, have they been first submitted to the Lord? Are we finding first delight in him? That's the question this text asks us. What are we offered? We are offered this covenantal, unconditional, eternal love and acceptance. How do we get it? This is the third thing we want to look at. How do we get it? Remember verse 1, it says this: come to the waters. Come to the waters. And then in verse 3, he says, come to me. Come to the waters, come to me. Those are the same thing. What he's saying is, come to me, God himself. I am the water, I am the milk, I am the wine, I am the bread. He's saying, these things just point to me. They aren't an end in themselves, they point to me. Come to me. He says, come and repent. That's essentially what he's saying here. He's not using that word, but that is what he's saying. Come and repent. What's repentance? It's turning from these things that we're chasing after to satisfy our soul, to find our identity in and our purpose in, our fulfillment in. Turn from these things, forsake these things, and come to me and find those things in me. That's repentance. It's turning from this way and beginning to 180 and walk the other way. And whether you're doing that for the first time or thinking about doing that for the first time to follow after God, or this is like the 1,000th time that you've repented. Martin Luther once said, the Christian life is a life of repentance. The everyday is repentance. You wonder, how do we do this? It's when you wake up and your heart's cold toward the Lord, you repent. It's when you realize and you wake up like I did earlier this week, and I'm like, man, I'm just getting caught up in this little stuff that doesn't matter. Repent in that moment and turn. Wherever you are, just repent. This isn't a one-time thing. This is the life, the Christian life is a life of repentance. And so this is for all of us. This is not just a, you know, first-time salvation kind of thing. Turn from those things as soon as the Holy Spirit wakes you up to it. Last question that I want to ask, because for some of us, we might say, okay, well, man, this seems like a good deal. Like, how much does it cost? How much does this water and bread and wine and this really great stuff, how much does it cost? What hoops do I need to jump through? What religious activities must I do to get this everlasting joy, this everlasting love? And I think you see here from this passage that it's free. There is no cost. There's no eternal cost to us. It's a free gift. Now, how can God say that? How can God offer that with no cost? Because there was a cost. Wasn't a cost to us, but there was a great cost. Go back just two chapters into Isaiah 53. The reason that God can make a compelling offer, a true offer, to say, come and get all of these benefits with no money down. The reason he can say that is because of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 was written 700 years before Jesus Christ came, but it was the promise, the guaranteed promise of God, that there would be a cost, that there would be a payment, which is why God can say with such confidence, come to me, no cost. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he, that is, we know now, Jesus Christ, surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned. Every one of us has turned to his own way. Does that sound familiar? I mean, isn't that what our hearts do? So prone to wander after these blind idols. Each of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Skip forward to verse 12. Look at second half of that. Yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Man, I love this passage. Tell me that's not Jesus. I dare you to tell me that's not Jesus. This was promised 700 years before he came that a Savior would come. And it's because of him, because of that Savior who died a death that we deserve, took on the penalty and the punishment, the payment of our sin that separates us from a holy God, that God can make that promise to you unreserved to be the one who gives you life without cost. Now, the proper response to that is to repent. Proper response to that is to turn and say, I'm going to chase after no longer these idols. I want God. I want the real thing. Don't give me a substitute. Don't give me a counterfeit to live your life out of that. You know, we come to this communion table. This communion table is really a covenant renewal ceremony. This is like renewing your vows. And we get to renew our vows every month. So no matter where you are, if your heart is cold right now toward God, if you've been buying bread that doesn't last and water and wine that's not satisfying, and you're a Christian and you say, man, I've been doing that. Now's the time, good time to renew the covenant ceremony. And the Savior's always waiting at the altar for you. He's ready. He's ready. So that's what we want to do. Take this moment. Take this moment just with the Lord and bow your head. Bow your head and just confess to Him. If there's coldness in your heart like I had this week, and many times, there's coldness in your heart toward Him. The relationship with the Lord hasn't been what you wanted it to be. And you're seeking after something. You fill in the blank. I don't know your heart. You do. You're seeking after something or some things to find that soul satisfaction. Confess that to Him. Say, God, I'm sick of following these functional saviors, these things that don't last. Lord, turn the blessings into my life as an opportunity to praise You and see and make me long for the greater blesser, the one that's more beautiful. This is the first time for you. If you don't know Christ, you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the great interceder, as we just read, would you turn to Him and recognize out of a place of humility, to recognize that these things do not satisfy in this life, and come to Him and repent and say, God, I accept what Jesus has done for me in paying the penalty. I don't understand all of it, but I recognize my need for a Savior. And Lord, would You come in and take this heart and make it Yours? Would You give me that unconditional love and acceptance that my heart has longed for and chased after in all the wrong places? Father, I thank You that You are a God of fresh starts and new beginnings, that Your mercy is new every morning. Lord, I desperately need that. I thank You, Lord, that You do not give up, Your love does not run out, and You are always there at the altar when we are ready to come and renew that relationship with You. Lord, we pray that we would not take that for granted, Lord, but we would come to You out of that humility and each day come to You out of an attitude of repentance. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity that we get to have on a monthly basis here at Brandywine to renew this covenant with You in our hearts and remind ourselves what it is that Christ did for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you come forward and hand out the